A Perikei Pasuk Yud Zayin, Perik Yud Zayin, okay? Pasuk Yud Zayin, Perikei Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hinei Ashrei Enosh Yochichenu Eloka Umusar Shakai Altimos. Eov, Eliphaz continues his rebuke of Eov, and he says to him, enjoy the Yisurim. He's saying, we mentioned yesterday in Pasuk Ches that he puts himself in Eov's place. Had I been in your shoes, I would have relished, I would have enjoyed every moment of this. I would have viewed it as an opportunity to seek out Hashem, to pray to Hashem, to come close to Hashem. And I recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not like you that denies Hashgacha Pratis. I recognize Hashgacha Pratis, and it's very easy. All you have to do is turn on radio and listen to the news, listen to the weather, and you'll see right away that with all the technology, they cannot predict when it will rain. And even when they predict that it will not rain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way of making sure that people survive, that they find what to eat, and the earth is saturated with water. Hashem elevates the low to positions of greatness. Hashem annuls the thoughts of the wicked. Look around. Basically, we told them yesterday, look around very carefully. You will take note that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is in control. He is pulling the...
He had experience with this because he tried
Eliphaz,
to get Yaakov.
He tried to get Yaakov.
He saw that it didn't work out. That it worked out the way Hashem wanted. Anyway.
Well, he seemingly had a choice. I mean, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the Midrash, but Eliphaz, it appears, if he wanted, he could have killed Yaakov. He just said, I don't want to kill you. Instead, Ani Chashev Kmeis, he was a Lamdan, he learned Daf Yomi, he knew all the Sugis. Ani Chashev Kmeis, I'll take away your money, and that way you'll be like an Ani. I'm not sure, he must have had some life experience. Maybe it's more in the Midrashim, we'll find some life experience where he did himself see the Yad Hashem, Hashkocha Pratis. But now in Pasuk Yitzayin, he goes further, Hine Ashrei, fortunate. And this is already really pushing the limits. It's one thing to tell Eov to be silent, don't complain, be wise. But when he says to him, fortunate is the person, Ashrei Enosh Yochichenu Elokah, who is rebuked by Hashem, who suffers, that's already an extreme statement. Person who suffers Yisurim Shel Ahava, afflictions that are not due to a sin, but just as a means of coming close to Hashem, fortunate such a person, umusar shakai, the rebuke of Hashem, al timos, do not detest. Okay, now let's take a look at the mitzvot pasuk yud zayin. Hine, behold, hoyel v'akol bo b'hashkocha, being that all comes b'hashkocha, hine, ashrei l'ha'odam asher yochichenu eloka b'mishpat yisurin, through the Yisurim, a person's sins will be forgiven, be cleansed from sin, so that his end shall be good. You shall not detest the Musar of Hashem. So he's, according to the Mitzudos, in Pasuk, the beginning of the Pasuk, Eliphaz is discussing mankind in general. For mankind in general, it's good that Hashem is Ashrei, and therefore you as the Yochid, someone specific, Musa Shakai, you should not detest. Let's see, Rashi, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hine Ashrei Enosh, the Yisurin, fortunate is the man who suffers affliction, Hashem Shuhu Marpe, Mach Oivim Shel Elu, just like, what?
He has a parenthesis.
Marpe, the same way Hashem heals. Now he's really, Rashi is leading into the next pasuk. Rashi here, pasuk, there is no pasuk Yitzah Yitches. So let's really go to the next, into the next pasuk, because this Rashi leads into pasuk Yitches. He then goes on to say something very powerful. Ki hu yachiv v'yechbosh. He's now giving him some comfort. Hashem yachiv afflicts pain, but v'yechbosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has the power to heal, to bandage. Yechbash always means in Chazal a bandage. Hashem puts a bandage on the wound. Yimchatz means to cause pain or to cause a bruise, to break someone's bones, to cause physical pain. But yet, the Yadav Tirpena, Hashem's hands heal the wound, heal the pain that he has inflicted. Now the Mitzvah says something over here that's very, very deep, which I'm sure in the Rabbi Dr. Fruchter can tell us what medical science says about this. Pasuk Yud Ches, Ki Hu Yachiv, Hashem is the one that brings pain, Yisurim, Hu Machiv. And then he says, Uvohem Atzman. He's reading a lot into the Pasuk. The Yisurim themselves are the source of refuah. And with the Yisurim itself, Hashem creates a bandage, sometimes dressing for the wound. The scab comes from the wound itself. It comes from the wound itself. Okay, v'refua, kibohem, and with the Yisurim, mimurak ha'avon v'telech la. So now he's saying something that's more symbolic. And through the wounds of Kadosh Baruch Hu, he cleanses man from sin. The Yadav. Now here he really elaborates in more detail. Hayadayim asher yimchatz. The hands, Hashem's hands, which bring about the pain. Bohem heim atzma merapim b'zeh es hamachatz. Those same hands are the ones which heal the wound. Machaleh ha'avon, and he goes on to explain, which means the spiritual wound. The machaleh, the spiritual wound. V'kofel hadav b'milim shonis. Now let's look at Rashi. Rashi pasuk yud zayin. Hinei ashrei enosh b'yisurim uchashem shu merape. So here, according to Rashi, he's coming to give you comfort. The same way Hashem has the power to heal machoivim shel elu, kach ani, Hashem can heal the wound. So according to Rashi, he's now going back to pasuk ches. Well, I'm sorry, back a couple of psukim from yesterday. That's why kach ani edrosh elov al yisurim elu sheyivouni. I would seek out Hashem concerning these physical afflictions. Eov, it's not too late. If you are suffering, you are in pain, you have to recognize the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that put this upon you has the ability to remove it. If I were in your position, that's what I would do. I wouldn't give up. I would not throw in the towel. I would pray to Hashem that He should take away these pains, because it's like within HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power. It's not mazel. It's Hashgacha Pratis. The same Hashgacha Pratis that brought this upon you can remove it from you. V'hoye l'cho l'kablam, therefore accept it. V'loy l'ma asem, and don't reject, do not detest it. Hashem is giving, bringing it upon you, and if Hashem wants, He can take it away from you. Now this idea that he says, according to the Mitzvah, and I'll elaborate upon a little bit more, from this we learn, this is the Mitzvah in the world, and this is a very, I think it's in the medical field, Dr. Fruchter can verify or can tell me different, that Dr. Friedman can tell that the antidote, the refuah for the maka comes from the maka itself. The person, Rachman al-Aslan, is suffering from an illness, a disease. The shoresh of the refuah can be found in the illness itself. You'll have a much better chance in spending millions of dollars of research by focusing on the mak, on the choili, because within the choili is the secret for the refuah. Is that correct? Yeah. I mean, there are many situations where you find medicines. What?
With the infection or with cancer therapy now.
Analyze the actual machla itself, and in the machla you can find the secret to heal, to bring. Of course,
field of pathology.
You know, therapy, but also, against cancer.
Okay, of course, there are many stories where they find things have nothing to do with the machla, right? They find a different disease, they find the medicine, and all of a sudden this medicine happens to cure ma'in zelzeh, ma'in shmid l'sasinai, nothing, but just ma'in shalai kachai, it works. But b'derech klal, the secret to the refuah is in the machla itself. And that's exactly what he's saying over here. That's really hidden in these powerful words of Eov, that Hashem, the one that's yachiv, the source of the macha is the yechbosh, the yimchatz, the source of where the yimchatz comes from. That's the yod of Hashem's hands himself to repent on a deeper level. When you expand upon that, the shorish of the refuah is in the mach itself. Okay, then he goes on to say the following thing.
Are you anechanani?
Yimchatz is the one Hashem.
Anechanani. You know,
correct. And right. But the idea is there. Is that the shorish, the mitzvah is to it. The mitzvahs of the words, Hayadayim asher yimchatz bohem heim atzma, the hands, asher yimchatz bohem heim atzma merapim b'zeh.
You know, his logic isn't 100%, because his logic says Hashem gives the mark, he could heal
take
them.
It away. Correct.
He could if he wants. Yeah.
So, but therefore, he told them, seek out, try, don't give up. Altimos. Don't just give up. Don't just reject it. Don't just be detested. There's still hope. What's the hope? He himself says back in Pasik Ches Ulam. However, Ani, if it was I that was suffering in your shoes, Edrosh Elkel. That's exactly what Rashi says. It's not, we don't know, you may be right. Maybe Hashem does not wants you to suffer, and it's a close case. But it's not necessarily so. It may very well be that if you will seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assistance, he will come to your rescue, because he is the one that brought this upon you. Okay, now he goes on to a new idea. Pasuk Yutes. Yes, sure. Sure.
Point where it says, he was about to replace Vashti with Esther.
Okay.
So it says, Rav Hanina, Rav Abahu said, it is written in praise of Hashem, and he quotes this pasuk, I'll use the translation, but he makes sore and binds up, he wounds and his hands make whole. God dresses the wound using the same material with which he inflicted it. Similarly, the same language by which the monarchy was taken away from Esther's ancestor, King Shaul, the monarchy will be returned to him. Because it says that he will give the kingdom to someone better than you. Shmuel had said to Shaul that he would lose his kingdom. So he took it away, saying, I'm going to give it to someone better than you, and she gets it back. So this
is okay, very nice. Very nice. Esther. She was the queen. She to some degree.
She was Benjamin. She was a
show.
That's not the king. That's the queen.
Malchus. She. Malchus is Malchus. Who calls the shots? Who wears the pants? Okay.
She's the boss.
Okay, Pasik, Yud. Okay, it was by the way. Okay. Pasuk Yud. By the way, just Pasuk Yud Zayin. I'm not good with the translation of the Targum, but Pasuk Yud Zayin alludes to, going back, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hani Ashrei Enosh Yochenu Eloka. The Targum translates Enosh's reference to Avraham. Okay? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Avraham, and Mimelu Musar Shakai Al Timas, that refers to the Anti Yisrael Marduso, the Shakai Lo Terachek, don't reject, referring to Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael, according to the Medrash, the Medrash is creating a relationship between the Ovos and the Banim. Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chastised Avraham, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon Avraham 10 Nisyonos, in order to perfect Avraham. Each Nisyon was a form of Toichacha, to see if Avraham would do what's proper, and Avraham survived, and therefore Klal Yisrael, we have who to learn from, Musar Shakai Al Timos. We are certainly no better than Avraham, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Musa, and Avraham accepted it and passed the test, so we should learn from that as well, and deal with Yisurim, and not attempt to reject the Yisurim.
The same tool that wanted to destroy the shouldn't be able to use it.
Yes.
So he came out of it the Isle of Yom Kippur, which is the
Kapara. Is the Kapara, very good. So the same thing, the Machelas that was almost used to take away the Netzach of Klal Yisrael now became for us a Zecher for.
It helps us in the biggest story.
On Yosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's our biggest Zuchus. So just an interesting point. I could ask you to elaborate more. I don't know the details, but the Midrashim here, I didn't really recognize, paid much attention, but he looked very carefully. The Targum and Eov is extremely powerful, explosive stuff. And we have to really prepare more to learn the translation of some of these difficult words. But here, interesting, then Pasuk Yud Zayin, the Enosh is a reference to Avraham, and the individual that we're discussing, Musa Shakai Al Timos, he refers to Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk is addressing us, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu dealt with Avraham, we brought upon Avraham Yisurim, each test was very painful. The test, every test, I left from the very first thing, to lech lecha, to leave your father, to abandon your father, to leave your homeland. That was the first nisun. The last nisun was Hashem was telling Avraham to slaughter your child, Yitzchak, a child that was born when he was 100 years old. These were very difficult things. These things caused Avraham enormous pain, enormous suffering. And Avraham accepted it upon himself. So if this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Avraham, and Avraham was our forefather, we as the children of Avraham have to learn from that, focus on that, and also learn to deal with difficult situations. Pasik Yud Tes. B'sheish. This is Eliphaz speaking, but Eliphaz is saying he's rebuking. There are many layers of interpretation. I mean, like reading one of the pesukim of Shrab says, "I saw here seven interpretations of one pasuk." Every pasuk can be interpreted on many levels. On the simplest level, Eliphaz is speaking directly to Eov, but Eliphaz is saying words of prophecy, and these words of prophecy, and Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that's recording this, is recording this for us. There's something for Klal Yisrael to learn from in the words of Eliphaz. His words are not just for the time, they are for eternity. Kipasik Yutes. Now we go on to a new idea. B'sheish tsaros yatzileka uv'sheva lo yagia b'chora. Yiga b'chora. Hashem saves you from six tsaros, and the seventh does not even come to you. Simply, it's a poetic expression. Six and seven. Seven represents shleimus. Every time we have the number seven, it represents the idea of totality, the olam hateva. A person will never be completely, the tzaddik will never be completely affected by ra. And even six, even a miksas, the number, the way Rav Schwab explains this is six represents the largest part that we can call a portion. Something that's incomplete. Seven represents the concept of completion, totality. Hashem spears the tzaddik from being destroyed, and not only that, Hashem spears the tzaddik from even partial destruction. So six means all the various types of churban and tzaros that can come upon a person partially, even that Hashem saves him from, and certainly Hashem will not allow him to come to number seven, which represents the idea of total churban. But he elaborates in much more details. Let's see. There are six tzaros that the pasuk is going to present, and the seventh will not even come near. And when it says six tzaros, which that means that the person comes in contact with the tzara, he sees it in front of his eyes, but Hashem saves him. The seventh, he doesn't even know. He's not even aware that this was a threat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his chesed, his kindness, did not even put a person in a situation where he was realized that he was in sakana. Now, there are many different ways in the psukim to count the six and the seven. So let's first just go through the six and seven, the psukim, and then we'll come back, we'll try to figure out which are the six and which one is the seventh. Rashi is not clear, and the Mitzudos gives us one approach. Now, what are the six things? Let's read a few psukim. Bira'av. Padcha mimavas. At a time of famine, Hashem redeems one from death. Uvil milchama, that's number one. Number two, uvil milchama, midei charev. At times of war, Hashem spares a person from death. Another example, charev is death by the sword, and rav is a natural death, a death through starvation. Pasik chav aleph. Bishot lashon. When the tongue is flying. We had this expression with regard to Eov. Hashem says to the Satan, Satan, where are you coming from? Mishut bo'oretz u'mehisalech ba. I'm coming from floating, from flying through the land. So here the word shot means the same thing, to fly, to float, and this refers to the tongue. When a person speaks lashon or slander, his words fly. They fly from one home to the next home, to one block, to the next block. It's tweeted and retweeted and so on and so forth. You can use all the modern terminology to express the idea that slander flies faster. What?
Feathers in the pillow, right?
That's an expression. I'm not familiar with that expression. Feathers in the pillow?
Story.
Yeah.
Okay, whose story is that? You can't lashon hara. It's like...
He can't bring it back. Exactly. It's so when a person is under attack, when there is a tkufa, when people are being slandered, this individual to whom Hashem loves Techovei is hidden. Hashem hides him and protects him from the lashon hara that would otherwise destroy him. Velosira mishot ki yavo, and need not worry about the destruction that comes in its wake. Similarly, according to this interpretation, one interpretation that showed in this part of pasuk is a continuation of the lashon hara. It's not two separate things. Some learn that it's two separate things, but we'll leave it now at the moment that it's one idea. Let's. Targum, we're going to see in a moment. Targum has a very beautiful interpretation. He refers to different tukuvos in history. We'll come to that a little bit later on. But let's first go to one thing. I hope to limit sudos these few psukim first. Pasuk Yutas. B'sheish saros hine. Eliphaz continues his rebuke. Da. Dalcha. Asher bavur hayisum habom olecha nismarei ke'avon. You don't realize the chesed that Hashem is doing for you, Eov. Because times, the hard times are coming. You don't see the full picture of the world. In a couple of years from now, in a couple of days, a couple of months from now, there's going to be a war, or there's going to be a depression, there's going to be tsaros, and many people are not going to survive. There are many people that are going to die, they're going to suffer, they're going to lose everything, they're not going to be able to cope. Hashem now is bringing upon you these horrible yisurim in order to cleanse you from your sins, so that when the tsaros come now down the line in 5, 10, 20 years, whenever it is, you will be free. You will be spared from these tsaros. So it's a new idea, which means Hashem is making an investment, which is a very difficult concept. Because when you have this idea of tzaddik v'ralo, we are pretty much are brainwashed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring upon a person suffering in advance to prepare him for the future. We live in a world where it's only after you sin, then you have to suffer. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring upon a person things that would otherwise not happen now. A person is not there. Okay, so they're not there. Hashem would normally not punish him at this point in time, but Hashem is going to bring upon him, is going to change the system of justice to punish him prematurely than he would a regular person, in order to serve as credit for the future. That's a very difficult concept in religion to deal with. What? Everything he says over here is outrageous. Every single word he said is outrageous. If I were you, I would be smiling. You're sitting over here. You lost ten children. Can you imagine? You go into someone's house and someone's lost 10 children. If I were you, I would be smiling. I would use this as an opportunity to dive into. This is total heresy to say something like this. But this is what Eliphaz. You see, as I told you before, you see over here, Eliphaz is very sincere. He's l'shem shemayim. He's telling this to Eov, you're a tzaddik. But you see the midat zachzarius. This is the shurish, and he's extremely religious. He's an extremist to the right. And what happens when you go all the way to the right? What happens? You come around. You're all the way on the left. Right? You go in a circle and you become an apikoris. And that's well, anyone that's an
try that out on the street.
That's the famous story with Rav Rudiman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ne'er Yisrael. There was once in Baltimore. There were many people who came after the war. They settled in Baltimore. It was a very, very big community years ago. It still is, but it was a very powerful community, and there were many people who were conservative. There was a conservative reform. A person, a very wealthy person, died, and the family donated his library to the yeshiva. To Ne'er Yisrael. So one day a big truck pulls up and they deliver in front of the door of the yeshiva a whole library. Everything you can imagine. There were shasim and there were rishonim and achronim, and there were plenty of books of kefir also, as you can imagine. Plenty of books, moly apikorsis. So there's a bacher, one of the best bacher in the yeshiva, Mitsuyan. He goes out to the front of the yeshiva, he goes through the books, and he sees some books which were ay, not so 100%. He takes those books in front of the yeshiva and he burns them. He burns them in front of the yeshiva. So they go back and they tell Rav Rudiman what happened. And this was a boy that was a very big Mitsuyan. So he says, I'm afraid that this boy will one day become an apikaris. Or become a... He said, so, I don't know exactly what he said. And kachava. Someone revealed the story years later. That bachur became, because anyone that's an extremist over here, he's burning the book because it says something about Ben Gurion. It says maybe a compliment about Ben Gurion. It says something nice about Ben Gurion, right? So you're going to burn the book. You're an extremist. So he's not religious enough for me. So I'm going to burn. That's not a mahalach. That's a dangerous approach to life. anyone that goes to the extreme, Rachmana Litzlan, can go to the other extreme, could just swing around and become an Abikaris. From where comes Amalek? Amalek is the child of Eliphaz. Eliphaz is an extremist. But he's an extremist to the right. He's telling Eov, what's so terrible? Your children died. You have to have a moon in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have to be a Maimon. You have to, if I was you, I would relish in the Yisurim. Hine, Ashrei, these words are really, it gets worse and worse. Hine, Ashrei Enosh. It's one thing to say it's good, it's okay, the big picture. Fortunate is a man. Yechichenu Elokadet Hashem
Rebukes. Turned all the cheek.
What do you mean? He's an extremist. He's an extremist, a fundamentalist. And this is an extremely dangerous approach to Yadus, to go to an extreme. And all extremes are no good. Going to the other extreme is also no good, but it's very scary, it's very frightening, and you see this is the shoresh of Amalek. Amalek comes from Eliphaz, who is super righteous, super self-righteous in his rebuke to Eliphaz. So he's telling him over here, this very deep... Al-Shem Soifai. Ben-Sar Umayra. Well, there it's different. There he was a ganef. There it's bed nidos. There it's not a matter of religion. There he's yoshev al parashas terachim. He's goinev min abriyos in order to satisfy his tithe for bas of yayin. And there he's a ben. There he's a good for nothing. He's not religious. It's not a religious. Here it's a religious fundamentalist. I never knew what those words meant until 9/11.
The two brothers, famous Rabbanim, the Be'er Moshe, which was the Debrezina.
The Be'er Moshe?
The
no, not the Debrezina. The
six halachas for him. The Debrezina.
Yeah.
He had a brother, Betzalel, who was in Australia. And they both had the same shaila. If you get a book that was printed called the YU Press, so Be'er Moshe says, even if it's a Talmud Chacham, or let's say,
let's not go here. Let's go weiter. Umiyad. So here the Mitzudas says something extremely frightening. Okay, this is an extremely frightening hashkafa. To say to a person, Hashem is bringing upon you Yisurim in advance, credit. Hashem is going to punish you now in advance in order to spare you from what's coming later on. That's a frightening thing to say. You wouldn't normally say such a thing. They're coming down the road. It's coming. It's coming upon you now. By having suffering now, Hashem is going to spare you. When the world will suffer in the future, which are coming in the future. Look, we say this. We don't say this from God to Yisum, but we say this. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that raw evil is coming, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away tzaddikim prematurely, they should not suffer. You say just the opposite. You say there they die. So dying is not the same as suffering. What is worse? It all depends on the person. All right. Uvisheva, uvidvar hashviyas, ashalot ichashev litzara, kumoyham. Okay, now number seven. Now, this is not clear. The difference between the first, sixth, and the seventh. The Mitzudos is setting us up for his interpretation. I mean, every single interpretation is very diverse. You read one parish, you got to be very consistent because you'll just turn the page and look what it says in the Malm Ibn Ezra, or the Ramban. They don't. This printing doesn't have the Ramban. You know, there's a Ramban. There's a Ramban on Eoif. And the other Mikros Gedolos, other set they have actually printed on the page a parish from the Ramban. He wrote a parish, just a parish on Eoif. I don't think there's a Ramban on anything else, on any of the Nevi'im, Ksuvim, not aware, but there is a parish from the Ramban on Sefer Eoif, and the regular art scroll, they're very into it. The Rabbi Eisenman quotes him extensively. It's a short parish. It's not like the Ralbag.
What is this Ma'ana Eoif?
That's two different. That's the Malbim. The Malbim broke up his parish into two parts. One part. The Ma'ane Eov means the response. Ma'ane means the response. Eov's response, and then he has Beir Hamilos. It's like a Mitzudos Tzion. The Mitzudos Tzion. The Malbim's version of the Mitzudos Tzion is what he calls the Beir Hamilos, and his Mitzudos David, where he elaborates on the parish of what is his commentary on what's taking place, is what he calls the Ma'ane Eov. The Malbim is famous in Sefer Eov. Has some very interesting interpretations of many psukim. So let's see. But over here, he's setting us up for the seventh tzara, and he says, "V'dvar hashlis asher tavo asher lo techoshev kimoyham." It's not. It's going to be different. The seventh affliction is in a different category. It's seemingly the Mitzudos is saying is that it's not as bad. It's much lighter. Lo yiga b'cho harosh bo, that will not even come near you. You will not even be aware that you were in a situation where you were in sakana. Okay, pasuk chaf in the Mitzudos b'ra'av be'es bo ra'av ba'olam. When the future, there will come a time when there will be famine. Yipodecho Hashem. Hashem will redeem you. Sheloi tamus mi'chesor na'oichel. You will not die. You will always have what to eat. Uvimilchama. And at a time of war, Yipodecho miyad cheref ha'oyev. Hashem will spare you from the sword of the enemy. B'shot lashon. Pasuk chaf aleph. When people slander, speak lashon hara. Be'es yisrabe lashon hara ba'olam. When people are in the mode of speaking lashon hara, utishotet halashon, and the tongue flies, ledaber rachil, to speak slander, ata tihyed nechba, you will be hidden, v'nistar mimena, ki lo tidaber elecha, they will not speak a bad word about you, v'lo sira, you will not fear, imkein mehashoyd v'evyon haba al yidei lashon hara, you will not have to worry from the churban that can come result from lashon hara. Let's look at Rashi, pasik yud tes, b'sheish tzaros, kishiyavo la'olam, yatzilcha al yidei yisurim shenis yosarta bohem. Due to the afflictions that you are suffering now, you will be spared from the sorrows that are going to come to the world in the future. Same thing as the Mitzudos. The Gam b'shviyis kishetavo, and even the seventh one when it comes, lo yiga b'cha, the achshav hu moine oisam, and now he begins to enumerate these seven. Number chaf alf b'shod lashon, shel satan. So Rashi here is more midrashic, as is very common. He's not talking about human beings. Human beings that sit in front of a computer and peck away on the keyboard, slander about other people. No, that's not what we're referring to. We're referring to when the Satan in heaven brings a kitroik, a complaint to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about a person. That's what we're referring to. That fits perfectly with the expression that the Satan said, "I'm mishot ba'olam u'mishalech ba." That's exactly what the Satan said about himself. What he does, he flies throughout the world and he walks through the world. So shall
linking.
Yeah. Those two words go together, right? Very good. B'shot shel satan techabe oscha elu heim shem. Now Rashi here says something which I saw one parish on Rashi, and he says I don't know what Rashi's talking about. Rashi only counts five. Elu heim asheva tzaros. Here are the seven. I can't remember counting seven. One, rav, famine. Two is cher. We had that we already read in the pasuk. Three, lashon. Lashon Hara, that's three. We read that, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The Shod, okay, which Shod? Is that Shod of Pasuk Chaf Aleph or the Shod of Pasuk Chaf Beis, which we have not yet learned? Okay. The Gomer. So wait, that's only four. How many is that? Four? The Chayas, so you have to say the Gomer means you have to go into the... You have to go into the next one. You have to go into the Shod and the Chafon and the Chayas Ha'aretz. The Chayas Ha'aretz same listed. But even when you count, you only have five. Count again one more time. Rav is one. Cherv is two. Lashon is three. Shod is four. Chayas Ha'aretz is five. Okay, but he said seven. So where is six and seven? So you have to then say that's part of the Goymer.
Did you say Umechias Hasadeh Al Tira?
I didn't. Mechayas. I didn't do that yet. No, I didn't do that yet. I did not do that pasuk yet. We didn't get that far. Okay, Rashi over here is listing seven. There are seven. He says the goymer. So is Rashi listing all seven, or is he listing six? Because then we have six, and then we have the seventh. Okay, so let's just put this Rashi aside for the moment. Maybe we'll come back to it.
Rashi, that word is titva or tichba?
Which techove, techove. That's part of the pasuk. Techove, pasuk chav aleph. To hide, to hide. Look at the pasuk. Bishot lashon, when the tongue is flying, is giving forth slander. Techove, you will be in a state of hiding. Hashem will hide you. You will be spared from the harm. Who is speaking Lashon Hara? Mitzudos, human beings. Rashi, the Satan in heaven is prosecuting man, is bringing complaints against men in Shemayim, just like we had in the beginning of the Sefer. Eov, you will be spared. Now that's a very bizarre thing to tell Eov. Eov over here was the victim of the Satan. Right? This whole thing came upon the Satan because the Satan was showed Ba'aretz or Mishalach Ba'a and says Hashem, he's only a tzaddik because he has a good life. Bring upon him, and see how he reacts. And here comes Eliphaz and says, Eov, it's good that you're suffering now, so this suffering will save you from the Satan that's going to come to you later. The Satan already got me. It's too late. Too little, too late. So what does that mean exactly? There's going to be another Satan. The Satan's going to come back. He'll come again. In Echnami, so he's saying the Satan will come later on, will be even worse. It's good the Satan got you now. He got off easy. Had you waited a little bit longer, the Satan would have got you for a lot more. That's a very interesting idea. There's a Gemara in Yeshanach, a very interesting Gemara, and you have to always take that into consideration. And when you learn the whole Sefer Eov, that Eov did not lose all of his assets. The Gemara in Masechta Baba Basra makes this point. He did not lose all of his assets. He lost 95%, but he had a couple of Swiss bank accounts that was still active. He had money. He had to pay the rent, and he lost. You know, he wasn't Bill Gates anymore. You know, he wasn't that Madrega, but he had a few CDs, he had a few things, some money put away, he got fine. He lost children, Rahman al-Aslan, 10 children. He lost, he was physically suffering. Chazal said he didn't get the ultimate, because Anios, poverty, is even worse than what Eov had. Eov had Yisurei Eov, but did not have the Yisum of Anios. A person that's an Ani, the Evyon, who doesn't have what to eat, and has to go from door to door to ask for his basic needs, not necessarily like today. There are people like that today also, Rahman al-Utslan. But people that mamish don't have what to eat, they don't know what's going to be tomorrow, they have to beg for a piece of bread. Those type of Yisurim, the Gemara says, are even worse than the Yisurei Eov.
So Yaakov told that drasha to
Eliphaz. He took away everything.
Says, I know all the seven terrible things, and this eighth thing is equivalent to all seven plus. So you're right, and
I'll... Eov had Yisur Eov, but he did not have the Yisur of Daktuke Anios. Daktuke Anios means, Rahman al-Utslan, not knowing where your next piece of bread, your next crumbs will come from. So he's saying that. He's saying to Eov, there is some truth, going to the Gemara, there is some truth to what Eliphaz is saying. You think this is bad? It could be even worse. Really?
They forgot there's other bays, and they prepared for Pesach. They don't have a piece of bread in their house.
Okay.
Don't give up your days. That's a
corny joke.
If you're here, you already gave up your day job. Okay, let's go. Let's go further. So this is okay. Let's go to pasuk next l'shod pasuk chavez l'shod. Now this is problematic. L'shod, we already had l'shod in pasuk chav aleph. Hashvelosiru mishod ki savo. You'll not be afraid when the shod comes upon you. According to the mitzudos, the shod in pasuk chav aleph is not. It's not a robber. It's not a bandit. Not a who comes take away your money. It's the harm of slander, reputation. A person's reputation, his honor, his dignity will be stolen from. That's the shod mentioned in pasuk chav aleph. Chav beis talks about money, talks about assets. L'shod ulechafan tischok. You will rejoice over shod, and chafan means starvation. Now, what do you mean you're going to rejoice? It means you're going to rejoice that you're not starving. You will rejoice that you have not lost your assets. Your assets are still here. Hashem has spared you. Let's next. Mechayas oretz al tiro. You will not fear the wild animals of the earth. We mentioned already Rashi. Rashi says, don't translate it what literally it means. Listen, robbers. Robbers, what's the difference between a human being and an animal? Seichel, intellect. Animals are robbers. People who steal from others are chayas hasadeh. They lack any intelligence. They're not playing the game. They're not. It's not proper. Therefore, they're called chayas aretz. So, according to Rashi, there seems to be some repetition. Shod is plunder. Who's the plunderer? A robber. And then again, he says the chayas aretz. These are listim. So maybe I guess there are different types of robbers. Maybe a listim is someone that will take a person's life. There are in Chazal the different terms used for different types of robbers. Some robbers will only take your money. They will not take your life. Other robbers will have no problem taking your life as well. Let's take a look at the Mitzvah Pasuk Chav Beis. Chabez l'shod le'espo shodet, when a robber comes ligzol hoin, your assets, your wealth, o be'espo kofan. What's kofan? Ratzoloimar es yotzu hatzvua, when there is a lack, there is a famine. There's famine, there is a lack of grain, liyaker hashar, and the price goes up in the market. Hine tischok, you'll sit back and laugh, v'tilag, v'ele, ki lo yagiu b'chol l'ra, you will not affect you. Now this is a very shocking statement for such a holy tzaddik, alifas, holier than thou, self-righteous person, to say that when other people out there are suffering, you'll laugh it off. Why? Because it doesn't affect me. So what? Just because it doesn't affect me, you're allowed to rejoice. If there are people starving in Africa, you're allowed to sit back and laugh. Oh, it doesn't affect me. I'm here in America. I have a job. I have parnasa. I have all the protection of the United States of America, all the programs they provide. I'm going to be safe and secure. That's terrible. That's the worst thing you can possibly do. If there's someone out there in the world that's suffering, you have to be mishtatif in their tzar to some degree. And certainly, Achein b'nei Yisrael, and even not Achein b'nei Yisrael, any human being that suffers, you can't take it lightly. And here he's saying something which is very disturbing. Eliphaz, man, we have to take Eliphaz's words. We have to don't just take it, just don't accept it 100%. The self-righteous, holy person, and I'm tischok. When other people are in a situation of shod v'chofa, no, it doesn't affect me. So therefore, tischok, you'll sit back and laugh it off. It's very disturbing. There's an article after Hurricane Sandy. This article had a lot of criticism. The person was planning to make a chasna. It's a very disturbing article. It's a person planning to make a chasna, and the caterer and the last minute, they decide this months in advance. Someone asked them a favor if they could change dates. The person who was supposed to make the chasna on the next day called up the people who were going to make the chasna the day before if they can switch. They can switch, or the other way around. The people who were supposed to make the chasna on a later date, one day later, let's say it was Tuesday. The people who were supposed to make the wedding on a Tuesday got a call from the people that are supposed to make the wedding on a Monday. Can you do us a favor? We have a complication. Can you please switch? Let's switch. We'll make the chasna on Tuesday, and you'll make the chasna on Monday. So the parents said, no way. No way. We have enough problems to worry about. And the kala told the parents, listen, do a chesed. What's the big deal? Do a chesed. Okay? So they did. So the parents didn't want it. Okay, fine. What's the big deal? It's anyway, it's in 3 months from now. We'll do a chesed. We'll switch. They switched. Turned out that was Hurricane Sandy. So by making it a day earlier, the people had a beautiful chasana with no problems, and the people who made the chasana the next day, it was a disaster. It was a total disaster from beginning to end. So they sat back and like, unbelievable, look at that. That this was really a blessing in disguise for them. Mm-hmm. For them. That they got a phone call to do this. They didn't want to do it, and they did a chesed. So because they did the chesed, it was to their benefit. They had a beautiful chasna. And the article was written in a way where they were gloating. They were basically gloating. Yes. Look at, we did a chesed, and because we did a chesed, we lucked out, we won the lottery. Yeah, but excuse me, you winning the lottery was at the expense of someone else suffering a very great sorrow, a very, this is something they look forward to. So how dear you write an article, it's a very nice thing, of course, hashgacha pratis, but it's not for you to gloat about in such a way. It's a chesed. You have to be careful how you a makir toif HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this happened, the situation worked out for you. But don't go overboard. Have the sensitivity to realize your mazel, your bracha was at the expense of someone else. And it was a very scary thing. How could such an article even be written in such a fashion? It was very frightening. That's really what's going on over here. Eliphaz here is self-right. Just you're going to suffer. I'm telling you, you have to suffer. Enjoy it, because your suffering now is going to bring about that when the time comes for Churban to come to the world and there's a depression, everyone's going to lose every penny they have. You're going to survive, and you'll sit back and look at everyone else and laugh. That's not midos tovos. That's not how you teach children. That's not the right thing. It's not what you teach adults. It's a very frightening expression for this, just to make that point to see what it says here. Now, let's go further in the mitzudos. Mechayas aretz al tira, pasuk of bay, going further. Mechayas aretz, the aciyem mishlachas achayos lo tira mehem, when the chayas aretz are going to be sent, lo tira mehem, lo tira mehem. Okay, we don't know what this means exactly. We live, Baruch Hashem, in modern society. We're not afraid of lions and who knows what roaming the streets. But obviously, this is a very great sakana. We have in the Torah. The Torah says, Ma'at Ma'at, Hashem will drive out the nations of Canaan little by little. Ten tirbe olecha chayas hasader. We don't appreciate what this means. We don't live in these times, but it's a very great sakana for wild animals to roam around. Look, even not so long ago, you have in the Catskills bears. A horror story with a baby. You can't take anything for granted. If a plane can disappear off the face of the earth, and it's already been 7 days, and there's no clue where it is, this goes to show that nothing much has changed since the prehistoric times.
It landed in Palestine.
What? It landed in Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. They're all alive. Now the Mitzudos comes and he summarized. Now this again, this is the Mitzudos' interpretation. He says, here we go. Rahav, okay, number one is famine. Melchama is war. Veloshen hara. Now notice, then he goes, shodidim. Now notice, when he says, there's one very important thing to keep in mind. This is where we're going to have some deviation from the Mefarshim. The Mitzudos very clearly says that the entire Pasuk Chof Aleph is one. All of the other Psukim have two. When it came to Pasuk Chaf, there's Rahav, Padcha Mimaves, Uvimulchama Midei Charef, that's two. Pasuk Chaf Beis, let's skip. Pasuk Chaf Beis, another two. Shod is robbery. Numbers next, V'chofan, that's another one. That is famine. Next, well, not famine. Chofan is not the same as Rav. I think you have to be very careful. Chofan is not the same as Rav. You have to be careful, because in Pasuk Chaf we have Berav. Famine. That means there's just nothing out there. The earth is no rain. There's a drought. There is no produce. Chafan means the inflation. That's how the Mitzudos learns. Okay, Chafan is inflation. How does the Mitzudos Dav Itzion translate Chafan? Is there a Mitzudos Sion? In Asifa, in gathering, people in the hoarding. Hoarding the goods, and when people hoard the goods, then there's inflation. It means gathering, in gathering. Okay, I'm not sure what that means. So this is kafan is inflation. Okay, and then we have a third in pasuk chav beis. There's a third of umechayas hasaretz al tira. That's three. So there's pasuk chav beis. We have three, and in pasuk chav we have two. But pasuk chav aleph is unusually verbose. Includes only the entire pasuk only discusses one idea. Bishot lashon techavei velo sira mishot kisavo. The shod is part of the collateral damage or the damage, the actual damage of the shot lashon. So that's how the Mitzudos learns.
Is that how? Because I would interpret it says shod adim. You use
plural.
So maybe. The showed ki yavo and the showed in the pasuk are the one.
Okay, that's an interesting idea. All right, or maybe, okay.
Yeah.
The robbers of the night. Robbers. The word shod appears twice. There is a reputation. There is simply, according to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it's the shod of the character assassination. Is that the term? Character assassination? That's the first shod. The second shod is assets. The robbery, the theft of one's assets, the shod. So here he says the character assassination is part of the shod lashon. It's due to a person's reputation being destroyed through lashon hara, through slander. And those are the six, according to the Mitzudos. We have here, let's go back to Pasuk. So one more time, we have Heim Shisha Tsaros, B'mitzvah Rav, Umulchama, for lashon hara, Shoydidim, Chofon, and Chayas Haaretz. Those are the six, not seven. Not seven. Now, obviously, vocally, if you want to say that we have here seven, before we go further, you can say, I think who maybe Rashi says this, or maybe no, not Rashi. Maybe I saw someone else that says this. Is that we really have here seven? We have two in Pasuk Chaf. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph, we have another two. Shot Lashon. That's one. Velo Sira Mishot Kiyavo. It means some other type of shot. It's not, that's not a continuation of the Lashon Hara. So that's another two, up to four. And then Pasuk Chaf Beis, we have three. Shod, Chafon, and then number seven is Chayas Haaretz Altir. That won't even happen to you, because how did this series begin? Six things you will be speared from, and the seventh Lo Yigavah will not even come upon you. If you want to learn that in these three psukim, we have a total of seven, then the six things presented are things which actually you come in contact with, things that you actually do come in contact with, and the seventh thing that you will not come in contact with will be Mechayas Haaretz, Altira. That's why the expression is a little bit different. Altira, you do not need even to be afraid.
Because you have below Sira in the first
Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Velo Sira, but it's a different expression. Velo Altira. Okay, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Okay, it's obviously not the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas learns that we're only dealing here with six. And the seventh is coming up in the next Pasuk. Okay, so this, just want to point that out. I don't know. I'm not sure. We have the next Pasuk, we have Avnei Hasadeh. Avnei Hasadeh, someone to learn, is also like a Chaya. Okay, we'll see. I'm not sure.
Somewhere brings down monkeys.
Oh, that's the next. That's Avnei Hasadeh. That's the Avnei. We're coming back to the little next Pasuk. So let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk of Aleph. Pasuk of Beis. No, we did all the Rashis. Okay, now let's go to Pasuk Chaf.
He says Chafan means a crowd.
Crowd, yeah.
He brings the Gemara and Shabbos where
Kinufia.
The reason we blow the Shaifer is because there was a Kinufia of people who were wearing the shoes and they thought that the soldiers were coming to the
cave. Uh-huh. They were gathered in the cave.
Right,
so they were kinufia. So you see the word used in an expression of a gathering.
Right.
When people come together, and here we're referring to hoarding produce.
Gathering together
to prevent people from buying it to raise the price. Okay, let's do one more pasuk. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Ki im avne hasadeh, new thing. Viri secha. V'chayas hasadeh hosh lima loch. Now what's going on over here? We already mentioned the Chayas Haaretz in the previous pasuk. Here we have now the Chayas HaSadeh, and then we have this thing called the Avnei HaSadeh. So let's see the Mitzvah. So this is a very nice interpretation. Chav Gimel, Ki Im Avnei HaSadeh. So this is more symbolic. Asher Im Avnei Michshol, stumbling blocks. It says in the Torah, if the evil law sitein michshol, doesn't only mean put a stumbling block on there. It means don't mislead a person. You will never be misled. You will never come to a situation where someone will misguide you. Asher im avnei michshol hamushlochim al pnei hasadeh, stones that are cast or discarded all over the field. Yeah, keelu keelu. It will be as if you were koras baris imohem lebal tigoif. You should not be injured. The even raglecha vihi ashvius. This is the seventh thing. Ashaloti choshev letzara kesheishes harishon. It's not as bad because it's only being misled, misguided. So it's different. The other things are direct, are things which you suffer. There's a direct form of suffering. Person dies. The person doesn't have what to eat. A person is attacked by an animal or things like that. Person is robbed. But here it's a matter of a bad business investment. someone misled me. Someone told me I should invest in this stock. I should invest in this business. I should put my effort, put all my time into this parnasa, and it's not as successful. There's no market for this service. There is no market for this product. I was misled. It's a different type of different category of tzara, and this that's called the avnei hasada, a stumbling block on the road, something which causes you to fall. It's as if you have made a treaty with all possible pitfalls in this world. They will not cause you to be misled. Next, the chayas hasada. What is that? Hu inya melitza. So Mitsuda says right away, this is not to be taken literally. This is nothing more than an expression. Loimar kiilu chayas hasada. Who are the chayas hasada? Heim hashluchim bidavar. These are messengers, Hashem's messengers. Letavach hashalom. To make peace, to make a middle road of peace. Bein cha, tavach means to go in the center. To go in the center. Making peace always requires two parties come into the middle. They make compromises to make peace. Bein cha u bein avnei hasadeh, uchi'ilu heim hishlimu l'cha es ha'vanim ha'heim. It's as if that the animals out there in the field, they are the ones that spoke to the stones and told the stones, do us a favor, don't be a stumbling block for the human beings that come in your vicinity. So according to the Mitsudos, don't take any of this literally. It's nothing more than an expression. It means all of the forces out there in the world, the government. The government is there to make sure that one man does not mislead another man. There's forms of protection set up in society. I guess, you know, the different forms of government, laissez-faire, or you have a very strong form of government to protect man. That's what he's saying. Over the forces of government are going to be there to protect people who try to mislead other people. This is the way the Mitsudos learned. Let's see Rashi. Rashi has a very different interpretation. Avnei hasadeh min odom hein. Okay, this is the most bizarre Rashi we've come across yet. That there are creatures out there that are not human. They're min adam. They're like human beings, but they're not actually human. Have you ever met these people?
That is orangutan.
They're all over.
It's an
orangutan.
They're aliens.
You know,
clubs.
Aliens.
Oh, what did you say? You said aliens.
No,
it says
orangutan,
prehistoric man. Bigfoot. Bigfoot. Is Bigfoot still out there? Right? Isn't there all these reports? That's what it says. Avnei hasadeh, according to Rashi, means min adam heim. They're not animals, but they're not humans. There's someone in between. And they are a great source of trouble for mankind. Aliens from another world are coming to destroy us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to protect us from these creatures. Is that bizarre or what?
Yeah, I wonder why he...
That's what Rashi says. I didn't make this up. And they wanted, why are they called Avnei? So someone learned that it's not really Avnei, it's Bnei. Avnei means a stone. But Avnei also has the same letters as Bnei. It's a play on the word Bnei, that these are children of the earth. Creatures that have come from the earth but have not been endowed with a neshama, a ruach from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to give them intelligence. The chayas asade, hu shenikra gerusha balas. The zui chayas asade, mamish. So this chayas asade, this refers to actual wild animals in the field that are very dangerous. They're called the masters of the field, wild beasts that roam the field, which are a source of danger for man. Hashlom Allah, Rashi says, Yi Allah, Shalom Imach, there will be peace with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect us, we will not be harmed by these creatures that are lurking out there. Okay, so everyone asks you for Makar for extraterrestrial existence, this is one of the sources. Min Adam. So what are they? Where do they come from? There's another Makar. Meiros, the Haftarah for Parshas Bishalach, Shiras Devorah. So Devorah chastises Meiros. And according to some of the Farshim, Meiros refers to the creatures that live in other planets. They were given Musa, they were chastised. Why did you not come to earth to assist Devorah and Barak in their battle against Sisra? That's what it says in some of the Mefarshim. Another bizarre chazal that indicate there might be some other life species out there besides human beings, but they're not intelligent. See, over here it says that they're not intelligent. They're not necessarily intelligent. I think Rashi there says that Radak, Arur Meros. Look it up in Shiras Devara. Shiras Devara is the Perek Vav, Shoftim Perek Vav, I think. Arur is what?
Perek Hay.
Arur Meros. May Meros be cursed. Look in the Mefarshim of that Pasek. Arur Meros means the creatures who live in the planet called Meros, they were cursed for not coming to assist Barak and Devara in their battle against Sisera.
Meros? Mars?
Meros.
Meros
is the
email
with Mavi.
Okay, we'll stop here.